Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is The Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of The Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
It is Friday the 13th. What does that mean? It's a number six, I believe. So we're rolling and moving and becoming aware of the planetary movements this week and next of Mercury in retrograde. And my guest is very, very educated on Mercury retrograde and so much more. So you don't want to miss the next 2 hours because you're going to just get everything you need for the coming season of Mercury retrograde and full moon activation. This weekend, I'll be camping out and under the stars for 3 nights. Woohoo! Tonight, Saturday, Sunday, and promoting health and well-being, doing yoga, sunrise, doing Qigong and Tai Chi, and visiting a permaculture farm once again to pick and learn about the fruits and vegetables in Florida. So whatever you do, get out in nature and breathe and enjoy life. It's life is too short. Here we are almost the middle of May and time is moving fast. Before I do my joint rolling, I want to just share what I read in my Along the Path to Enlightenment book this morning. It was so interesting and so nourishing to me. So it might just be nourishing for you as well before we do our joint rolling. But this morning, Along the Path of Enlightenment are daily reflections on David Hawkins. He was a doctor who was very spiritual. And David Hawkins lived during a time where we so needed to rise in our consciousness and our awareness of everything around. So this morning he said to me in this devotion on May 13th, Along the Path of Enlightenment, as spiritual awareness advances, as we become more conscious, the flow of spiritual energy increases and enables transcending prior, seemingly insurmountable obstacles. So whatever challenges you've had up to now, when you advance your spiritual awareness, your consciousness about life on this planet, those troubles seem to just melt away. As the attractions of the world and emotions decrease, there is a progressive attraction to qualities such as beauty, lovability, and peace rather than things or seeming gains. Forgiveness becomes a habitual attitude, and the innate innocence of all creation shines forth. The teachings of great saints and teachers become one's own from within. And my guest is here in the green room. So, hi, Lisa. Lisa, to me, represents that last sentence very, very richly. The teachings of great saints and teachers become one's own from within. And so when I saw this lady in the Naked Garden series, I just resonated with her so much. I said, well, who is that? And I didn't even recognize her because she had a hat on. I said, that's so powerful, because I do my own naked gardening. I wear like a bikini because my son's always looking out the window, and he's always embarrassed if mom takes off too many clothes. So when I saw Lisa doing her thing, I'm like, that's my girl. I need to just visit Lisa so I can be free. But today, Lisa's going to share all that wisdom and knowledge that she's gained, and it's become her own from the saints and the teachers. And that's what we're all here to do, is take on the wisdom and teachings of our ancestors and practice, practice, practice. So for now, let's do some joint rolling, because that's how we love our body on the most, on health and well-being. And when we get done, I'm going to bring my guest in, because she's here or on time. Thank you. Lisa is on time. This sister is just full of integrity and so much more. You're going to just love Lisa. So let me find my intro music. Here we go. Time for Healing. This is a song by The Sounds of Blackness. I just love the rhythm and the words to this song as we roll our joints. Now, we're going to start with our neck, because as I tell all my yoga students, Serena and Venus Williams did a workout that I saw on YouTube or somewhere, and they started with neck rolls. I'm like, wow, that's what I've been doing. So we're in good company when we start our workout with neck rolls, because the best tennis players on the planet do it, and I figure we can benefit from it as well. So we're going to start with our neck rolls, our shoulder rolls, and then we're going to get on our back, and I'm in my living room ready to stretch out and do the ankles and the wrists and then the knees, and then we're going to roll our leg around to get lubricate these hips, and then we end off with some vagus nerve stimulation, so that our brains are really activated and open-minded for what we're about to learn today. So hope you can join me in the next, and enjoy the music if nothing else. This music is so powerful. So here we go, Time for Healing by The Sounds of Blackness.
And season. We mistreat each other, yeah.
Runs from the back of your neck around the ear all the way down into your gut area and all branches out. Let's pat, thank our vagus nerve for giving us more life and activating all those hormones and doing what we need and all around the breast, thymus gland. Love you, body. Thank you. Give thanks. Breathe in, hold, 1, 2, 3, 4. Let go, 1, 2, 3, 4. Breathe in, 1, 2, 3, 4. And exhale, 1, 2, 3, 4. Breathe in, 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold it, 1, 2, 3, 4. And let go, 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold it, 1, 2. One more deep breath in, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold it, hold it. And exhale, 1, 2, 3, 4. We give thanks. We give thanks. Thank you for joining me this morning. And I'm going to open up my beautiful sister. What is that? Yona. Is that Yona? L-O. I can't read this. Let's see. Lisa.
Hi.
Hi, Lisa Campbell. Is in that? What is that? Yona Elohi?
Yona Elohi. It means earth bear.
Earth bearer. Welcome, my sister. It's so nice to have you.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, hon.
Oh, this is beautiful. I when I was looking through your Facebook pictures and posts, I had no idea you were doing ayahuasca. I thought, oh, my goodness, we're going to have so much fun talking about frog. I got my frog tattoo right here.
Okay.
And I always tell the story about how I got the frog medicine. When someone introduced me to ayahuasca, I said, oh, that sounds so interesting. And my soul was ready for it. I was having a conversation with somebody. And they were, I don't know if I'm ready for that. I was ready for it. But then they mentioned the frog medicine and what happens with the frog medicine. I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready for that. So the morning I was scheduled to meet with this ayahuasca group here in Orlando, I was in the shower, and there was a green frog in the shower with me. I am not kidding you.
Wow.
Now,
you gotta be kidding me.
Now, when I think about it, I thought, oh, I just imagined that. I must have imagined it. But I didn't at that moment. There was a green frog, and I'm like, what in the world? So that's how the universe works, right?
Yeah, signs, synchronicities.
I'm telling you, that's what I'm all about, synchronicity. Like, that was no accident. That was no accident. People who are walking around like, by coincidence, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, honey, let's look at the numbers. What time was it? Where all that is really speaks to us, doesn't it?
It does. It really does, yeah.
So I'm
I wasn't expecting to be here with you today, but just like, you know, the frog being a synchronicity for you, it's you inviting me to speak on the topics of holistic healing. I was like, you know what? I'm not quite ready, but am I ever? You know, and so I was like, okay, this is great. And then my mentor, Kwame Sunhorse, had texted me. And he said something. I was like, wow, Kwame is not even on social media for one thing. And then for another thing, I didn't know I was friends with people who were friends with him. I didn't realize that. And so, yeah.
Funny how the universe works these days.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. It's amazing. It is an amazing time to be alive and how things are unfolding. Yeah.
We were born for such a time as this, as we've heard often. And those who were not born for, their spirits are going to move on to the next dimension, I think.
Yeah, I always say that people who are not moving along with the vibrational frequency, people who are not evolving, who are resisting, they didn't sign up for it. It's as simple as that. They just didn't sign up for it. And so, they'll go on to be ancestors or whatever. But, yeah, so we have to, for those of us who are like, okay, we're with this new earth, this new world, we're moving along with the vibrational frequency, we're here for a reason. And we all have a job to do, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Lisa, I'm really interested in learning how you became, I consider you a shaman, but you have many other titles and, you know, how you see yourself. But you're in Texas, right?
I am.
Were you born in Texas?
I am from Texas, yes.
Oh, my goodness. You need to tell us about that, a little bit about how you came into the planet in Texas. While I move my equipment back to my studio, can you just tell our listeners a little bit about your youth, especially, because I'm wondering, how did you grow to be this shaman?
That's an interesting question when you're speaking about my youth. I truly believe that most people who work as medicine women or medicine men have not had very, you know, very pleasant childhoods or youth or adolescents or even young adults. Let me just speak for me. I went through a lot of trauma. I was birthed into trauma. And so, and I just basically, raised myself. I parented my parent. My mother was, my father was nowhere in the picture. My mother was addicted to prescription medications, and she would have three or four doctors where she would get a 30-day prescription on the 1st, a 30-day prescription on the 15th, and a 30-day prescription on the 30th. And she would just do that over and over again. So she was constantly high on what we refer to today as opiates. And so so I really didn't have a mother. And I had two sisters, one older and one younger. And you can imagine three girls. There was actually six of us, but she had gotten rid of my brothers and another sister. But there was actually, so it was three girls. We basically raised ourselves. And so in doing that, there was a lot of trauma involved in that. You know, every 7 years, we shift in life, like big or something happens, it's life-changing. Every 7 years, we start over, right? In my seventh year, I suffered from third-degree burns from a gasoline explosion, the lack of my mother's supervision. And so that was just one of the things, but it was just the men that would come in through the house while she was high. They would have their way with her, and then they would move on to us. So there was a whole lot of trauma. The teenage years, nothing changed, and so the molestations and things of that sort continued on. I escaped all of this. Then it was homelessness and finding ways to make ends meet, doing things that I was uncomfortable doing in order to make those things happen, finding safety, finding shelter, a lot of times seeking that in older men, and trying to heal my father wounds. For lack of better words, I was trying to heal my father wounds and find somewhere safe. That never quite panned out. They were normally abusive emotionally, physically, or mentally. I was just in this cycle. I finally escaped that by joining the military.
Oh, my goodness. Your story is so similar to my guest last week, Robin. I'll have to send you that show. She was homeless for, I think she said 10 years, 15 years. But she came out of it. I asked her, what did you learn from that? She said, humility. I'm like, what? So anyway, your story is like, and I want to just praise you and honor you for being transparent, because that's the only way we're going to heal. We're going to heal if we're all sharing our stories, processing them, letting them go, and then doing what you do. So forgive me for interrupting, but go ahead.
Well, absolutely. It's like I'm not ashamed of my story, because I've always been a self-healer. And this leads up to your original question as to how did I get into this. I don't think that people who work in this calling, or who volunteer to be in this type of work, have had easy lives. I don't believe personally that you can truly be a person who helps others heal if you haven't been through hell and high water and healed yourself first. And so that's the thing, is either I believe that we either become what has happened to us, or we heal what's happened to us and become healers of what's happened to us.
Amen.
You know, I can't comfort you or guide you through any type of ceremony, and you're going through say, for example, women who have, I work predominantly with women, but I also work with men as well, but I do work predominantly with women. But yeah, so my childhood wasn't necessarily the best, to be honest, my life, period. My life is better now than it's ever been, you know, being determined to heal on purpose. That has always been my thing, is healing on purpose. And the only way that I can make sense of what happened is to turn around and help others. I originally started trying to make sense of that while I was in the military and becoming a social worker. I thought that being a social worker, I have more degrees than a thermometer. I went to University of Southern California to become a social worker, and so I have a master's in that. And I started working in social work, and then I realized that this isn't really healing. This is just a bunch of Band-Aids. This is just a bunch of here, take this check, and then go on with your life, get out of the way, next person in line. Or here, take this drug class and get out of the way, next person in line, come here. But you never saw the outcome of the person's healing. You never saw anything. It was just like putting a bunch of Band-Aids on, and I said, this isn't for me. You know, I just knew it wasn't for me because it wasn't real healing. And you couldn't really sit with the person and then try to assist them along their journey because there was so much red tape. There's so much red tape in the matrix that we really can't get to one another.
Right.
Right. And so luckily I retired from the military, so I'm able to step out of the matrix, you know, I realize that a lot of us are still in the workforce. I got it. We have to do what we have to do, but I'm blessed enough that I don't have to be there. And so I can focus on holistic healing without all the red tape. But yeah, I was born here in Texas and left here around the age of 25 and then did my time in the military. And then I came back not, with no intention of my own. My daughter was here, but come to find out, I needed to come back. And I didn't really know why, but I was a social worker working in the same domestic violence shelter that I was in, the same one.
Wow.
I worked as a social worker there.
Wow.
And I was able to go back to all the places where I had experienced trauma, and I was able to burn sage. I went back on purpose, and I walked it. I walked it. I walked like 10 miles one day, just going from place to place. Okay, I was raped right here. This happened right here. Domestic violence happened right there. And I would burn sage, and I would call back my energy. And I would close that vortex of where that violence had happened at, you see. And so a lot of times we are born into things because it's what we're supposed to experience in this lifetime. That's a hard pill to swallow. But I was supposed to experience those things because I'm supposed to help people who have experienced those things. You see, it's in my natal chart. It's in my natal chart that I would experience that type of trauma. And that goes into astrology. But we all sign a contract before we come back here. We all sign a contract. A lot of us don't realize that we've signed that contract. We've all signed a contract, and so we've said that we would come back here and experience these things. Now, what you do with that is another story, because you have free will. You know, you can become that, and you can just come back and do the whole thing all over again. We've all been the victim. We've all been the perpetrator. You know, and so in this lifetime, I happen to be the victim, but I wanted to, in order to not come back and do it again, we have to heal ourselves, you understand, and stand in our calling. And it just so happens that my calling has evolved into being working with sacred plants and predominantly women.
That makes makes perfect sense. And even the word victim kind of has to be broken down and analyzed in the sense that we're not entitled. We don't want to get into entitlement just because we experience what you just talked about, because so many people have those type of traumas and then they stay in that victim mind instead of becoming sovereign beings and empowering themselves. So that word victim has to be analyzed, because my feeling is kind of we all get what we deserve based on the karmic energy in the universe. The law of the universe is karma. So I'm always thinking, well, we all get what we deserve on some level, whether it was in a past life that created this experience. Have you ever looked into past life readings and thought about or been revealed to you why you experienced that from a past life point of view?
Absolutely. So I have been shown a few past lives. I haven't past life where I was violent towards women or dominant towards women or abusive towards women. I haven't been shown that, but in my spirit, I know that at some point, my father was very along those lines, you know what I mean? And so it came to me from my father. This is generational stuff,
yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, although we don't like to admit that somewhere along the line we were the perpetrator, but if we want to break the cycle, we have to, you know? I've also had past lives where, this is a good example, I was always afraid to drive by ponds on the side of the road. I had this fear for no reason.
Mm.
There was a fear. And whenever I'd come by a pond or a lake on the side of the road, I would slow down and go really slow. I'd have like a bit of an anxiety attack. Even if the pond was way off the road, if I could see it, I'd have a bit of an anxiety attack. And so I was shown that it was 1923. My mother was about 13, and they had given her to an older man, traded her for something, farm animals or something like that. And this older man kept her pregnant, kept her, you know, she was pregnant her whole life. And so by the time I was born, she had six of us.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was probably about five. And so this, now he had started moving on to the children and molesting and hurting the children. And so my mother, being a young woman, still yet, because she was only 13 when he acquired her, she got into a station wagon and she put us all in the back of the station wagon. And in this past life remembrance, she put a sheet of ice over us for some reason. And I remember sitting up in the ice and the ice falling off me. I said, Mama, I'm cold. And she said, lay down, child, lay down. And so I laid back down. My mother drove up the street and she drove off into a pond. And she committed suicide and she killed all of us. It was the only way she could protect us. And so once I had that vision, now I can drive by a pond and not have an anxiety attack because I realized that it was a past life transition. Another thing I would do before I realized this past life transition is that around the holidays and stuff, I would buy all my whole family, I'd buy them like these seatbelt cutters and these things that would break windshields. And I didn't know why I would do that. I just thought, I just want everybody to be safe, you know. But I realized it was a past life occurrence where you transition that way. It was kind of funny that I would do that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Oh, listen, we got to take a break. This is so interesting. And again, I honor you and thank you for being transparent and that some people might realize that what we do today has a lot of bearing on what happened to us, not just in this life, but past lives. But we can all heal that and go on to do some amazing things. We the kings, queens, goddesses, and shamans that we were meant to be. So when we come back, thank you. We're going to go into our topic today, which is ayahuasca. We got to talk about how you got into ayahuasca and the training, because that's a very important tool for healing if people don't understand. We're going to find out what is ayahuasca, why Lisa and how she got into that therapy and teaching, and then talk about heart health, because I think it all goes together. We're going to heal our hearts today. And the heart health came up to me because Kevin Samuels has been on my radar for a while since he passed away. This brother who is a very truthful, honest, hard-hitting therapist, all the things we could use to describe it. But I've been really studying him because he's a Pisces like I am, born the day after me. And his MO is similar to mine in many respects. My sister, Mama AV, used to call me a hatchet, golden hatchet, because the way I approach things is like, just hammer it in, just go at it, and just speak your truth. And I had then we got to talk about Mercury retrograde, because last night at dinner, and then we're going to go to a break, we were talking at dinner, my son and his girlfriend, and her son, and the conversation came up about red hair. She said her son likes women with red hair. So I was like, oh, red hair. Naomi Judd, who just passed. You know, I used to love watching Naomi and Winona because they're red hair and they had these beautiful clothes and they're harmonizing and these two beautiful women. And I said, do you know her her daughter Winona was conceived from a rape? And woo, I touched a nerve in my the woman there. And we had to just sit quietly and listen and watch her just have an total emotional react. And we talked a little bit about abortion before that because I was saying Naomi was raped and had Winona Judd, who is like this beautiful star and in our life, and that really touched the nerve. So I just said that to say the way we speak our truth and communication sometimes triggers people. And that the emotions come up. And I felt terrible because I had triggered emotions from this person. I didn't intend to do that. I was talking about red hair and then abortions came. But this is a season, and I think Lisa will help us understand why these things are going to happen in the next 2 weeks or so because of the movement of the planets. I'm just blaming Mercury retrograde did it. It wasn't me. It was just Mercury retrograde. So when we come back, we're going to get into all that and more, but we got to go to a break. And I'm so excited to have her here and talk about these things. We'll be right back after.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships. My introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
Constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Healing, and I got my powerful sister Lisa Campbell, Yona Elohi, shaman, light feather. I just want to call you all these powerful names that you have created by being the beautiful soul that you came to represent here. So thank you, Lisa, for joining us, light feather. And, you know, I was looking at something you said. I think this is a quote from your, the healing hurts more than the wound. Did you write that on your page?
I didn't write that. What I did, that was just probably just the meme that I saw that I liked, but it's just, it just resonates with me. Anyone who's done the work in healing, it would resonate with them as well. Because when, as you're healing, you become a new person. And sometimes you become someone you don't even recognize, you see? And usually that starts evolving into that inner child, that little girl, that little boy that we put in the closet and we shut the door on and kept living our life is all of a sudden standing in the room with you and ready for you to face those emotions that you've hidden or that you've repressed. So now you have to deal with this child. And sometimes that child isn't always, that child is also associated with shadow work. And so there's parts of us that we don't know. And in healing, those parts of us come to the surface. And now we have to, what do we do with that when it comes to the surface? You know, what do we do with that anger when it comes to the surface? What do we do with that sexual repression when it comes to the surface? You know, what do we do with that sadness when it finally comes to the surface and the tears finally start flowing? You know, we don't recognize this person because we've been so busy surviving. Surviving and healing do not go hand in hand.
Ooh, that's big.
And so we have to surrender that control. We have to release that survival mode and just allow. And that's hard and it's scary. And to be quite frank, it feels better later, but at the time that it's happening, it hurts, you know?
Yeah.
To realize I haven't cried in 15, 10, 20 years. It hurts, you know? And to realize that you've never been angry or that you've been too angry. You've been so angry that you haven't had a chance to breathe or live or be happy or know what true love is. You know, so, yeah, sometimes the healing hurts worse than the wound.
Yeah, I was married to a man who cried in 35 years. In those 35 years, this man cried twice.
Mm.
And when I looked back on that, I thought, wow, there's something, the child, inner child never got healed. And it was demonstrated over and over with addictions, mainly to food in his case. But the two times he cried, at one at his mother's funeral and the birth of my first son, those are the only, when I was giving birth to my son, he was my coach. He was amazing. He was my doula coach and everything. And I looked back and he had tears in his eyes when our first son was born. That was it. That was the last time. Or no, his mother died after that. So you got to wonder when you're, like you said, you haven't cried in 15, 20 years, that's part of the healing, right?
I'm amazed that he was able to cry at funerals, you know, so that was a good sign that he was able to cry at funerals because there were times that people would die and I would just consider myself the rock.
Oh.
I would consider myself the strong one and would never grieve their transition, you know, and it wasn't because... Like right now, if I didn't cry at a transition ceremony, it would be because I understand that death is not the end now. You know, I understand that the energy never dies, but that would be the reason. But I would cry because I miss them, but not because they have, you know.
Yeah, I'm like you. I don't cry at funerals. I love going to funerals because I learn so much about their life usually. And it's just fascinating to me to see how other people are reacting to this, like you said, transition to another level. I'm so aware and conscious that this is just a reward, really. In fact, I look at all funerals as a reward. Okay, graduation. Oh, wow. So I don't have the emotional reaction I had as a child. I'm just kind of fascinated. Look at this. What did they do? Look at all the people or no, or look at how this person is over here having a crying fit. And I'm thinking, probably a little guilt going on. I'm like analyzing the funeral.
Yeah. I had, like most of us, I lost a a lot of people the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to cry. But it wasn't necessarily because I was, it was more along the lines of gosh, I'm going to miss you. You know, I know that you're one of my ancestors now, and you're more powerful on that side than you are on this side in assisting me along my journey. But gosh, I'm going to miss you. You know, when before it was like just absolutely no tears, but there was no emotion.
Right.
There wasn't anger. There wasn't sadness. There wasn't happiness. There was nothing. It was just, I'm the strong one.
Right.
You know, and being strong is a trauma response. It's a trauma response. You know, when we always have to be strong, you know. I mean, the independent strong woman thing was the worst thing that ever happened to us.
Oh, ouch.
So, it happened, you know what I mean? Our mothers went through whatever they went through, abuse, and if the husband didn't bring in the money, then we didn't have any money, so we had to stay there. And so they taught us, make your own money, then that way if somebody treats you badly, then you can leave. And then we taught our daughters, make your own money, you don't need no man. And then the next thing you know, we're all standing here strong and independent and unhealed.
Well, and that's what, you know, that was Kevin Samuel's demeanor, attitude, that, like you just said, the independent, strong woman is what was keeping women not married and what keeping people, women were putting themselves on a pedestal, blah, 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 blah. He goes on and on about that. And you make a great point that we have missed out on having deep, meaningful relationships because of this stance we took, an independent, strong woman. And the family idea of a family went to the side because I got to be boss and all that. But yeah, it's kind of
how we got there. Like it really kind of bothers me when people say, "Well, you're strong and independent. That's why you don't have anybody." But they forget how we got there. We didn't just wake up one day strong and independent. A lot of us were being abused and financially abused and physically and mentally and sexually abused because if we didn't depend on him pay the bills, then we would end up someplace else. Well, come on now, it's a process.
Right.
But the thing is that the end result is that a lot of us, I think we're coming back around.
Yeah.
You know, around. But a lot of us are like, well, you know, I got my own, I don't need you. I think you should have your own. I have nothing against that. I really think you should. I'm a single woman and I love it. I love being able to do what I want to do, go where I want to go, be who I want to be without answering to someone else, you know, but that's my journey.
Right,
that's
right.
That's my journey.
Yeah. And do you have grandchildren?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
So,
I have twins, a boy and a girl.
Yeah, me too. And how old are they?
They are four.
Four, they're twins?
Yes.
Oh, wow, how cool. Well, mine are, they're getting ready to be 6 and 8. They're like a week apart. And yeah, being a single grandmother is fun because there's no partner, you know, they're right now, at least, there's no partner involved where you have to pay attention to that person and spend time with the other partner and all that. The grandchildren are just kind of your life, right? At least for me, they are, because they live right across the yard and they come in. Their parents were divorced like 3 years ago. So we've all kind of been, you know, really contributing to their healthy development from this trauma of a divorce. It was really traumatic for them. And I watched their little psyches process, mommy and daddy are no longer going to live together. Mommy and daddy are apart. And my grandson, I remember one day he came here. He was only about 2 years old. He had to be because he's five now and they've been divorced 3 years. And after going back and forth to he said, oh, it was like 2 or 3 years old. He said, oh, okay, I get this. We're going to have to go to mommy's house one time, then daddy's house. He was like processing it in his own little 2 year. He's like, okay, I get this. He's like, I can do this. You know, he had this like such a mature attitude. And now he thinks he's the boss around here. He tries to run the place. But yeah.
Well, you know, people are healed enough to co-parent, then it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
You know, if you have one parent that's not happy with what's happened and they use the children as a weapon, then that's horrible.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But if you have people that can co-parent and things like being single. You know what I mean? It doesn't bother me, but this is also a healing process.
Oh yeah.
And you can get to that point where being with yourself, that you're okay with that, you know. And then it's like it's not like I wouldn't invite someone in my life. I would, but I'm not going to go backwards in the process.
Right. So when we talk about ayahuasca and heart health, let's put those two together, because a lot of people travel all the way to Brazil or to South America. Once they hear about ayahuasca, and they've been, I've heard like these big corporate CEOs who I've seen so many, I watched so many YouTube videos when ayahuasca was presented to me. I was like, okay, what is it? Let me go watch. And these CEOs who've been stressed and almost going crazy, they are introduced to ayahuasca. So they get on a plane, they go to South America, and they experience this very unusual ceremony for them, because they've been in the boardroom and CEO, and they come back changed and a totally different person. So what is it about that, and their hearts are healed in many ways, because their childhood traumas come to light sometimes, and the inner child is in a vision and all this. So tell us about, for those who may not know what ayahuasca is, tell us about that and how you became interested and involved in that, because it's a powerful tool to heal.
Ayahuasca came to me. A lot of times the plants will come to you, just like the frog came to you in the shower. Plants will come to you when your spirit is ready to receive them.
Yeah.
So ayahuasca came to me. I was still in the military, actually.
Oh.
I was captain in the military, and I was I had a little online store where I was making jewelry. I had came across the ayahuasca vine in some way. This was in 2014. I came across the ayahuasca vine in some way, and I was making jewelry with it before I even knew what it was. And so that's how it came to me. And then I mentioned it on social media, then someone mentioned it to me and introduced me to a beautiful medicine man by the name of Colin Carew. He was the first person that I sat with. Like I said, I was still active duty military when I sat.
Wow.
I'm talking about. So it just called me, you know, and so I went and sat with it. How does this correlate to heart health? Without me going into the long story of how I begin to work with the medicine and things of that sort. A lot of people I think a lot of people feel like they should work with these plants. But the one thing I truly believe is people should work with them on their own healing. But there's a lot of people who feel like they should hold space, and they should be medicine people and work with people in with these plants. But the thing with that is that if you're not called to work with these plants, then you're not going to be able to. That's that. You can't force the plants to work with you. They're either going to work with you or they're not. Even people who are called, if they're not doing the right thing, the plants will stop communicating with them. It will cut them off. It will cut off the signal. And so if you're not called to work with these types of medicine, then you're not going to be able to do it. Okay, in staying with the medicine and how it correlates to heart health, yeah, I love it, how it correlates to heart health. Trauma is stored in the body, yeah? Trauma is stored in the body. So we're talking about the heart, right? So you have heartbreak. You've never cried. You're always, you've never been angry. You've never, you know, you never felt emotion. You can't feel emotion, or you felt so much that your heart is out of balance. Well, there's an energetic space there. We have a chakra system within our body. All right? And so the heart is one of those spaces. Well, trauma gets trapped there, just like in the sacral, where sexual trauma, abortion, miscarriage, child molestation, abuse gets trapped there. In the solar plexus, when assaulted or when we are abused via the heart, we lose power, solar plexus area. Trauma gets trapped there. This trauma can manifest into the physical. So if you have a broken heart, and it's been broken over and over and over again, whether it was broken by someone else or broken by yourself, you have all this unhealed trauma in your heart. It can manifest into heart attack. It can manifest into lung issues, breathing issues. And so what ayahuasca does is it heals the energetic body. It heals the energetic body. And so in clearing the heart space, clearing that energy out and giving your heart room to breathe, there's something that's referred to as epigenetics. So we have genetics, right? When they say, oh, heart issues run in my family.
Yeah, right.
My grandmother had a heart attack. My great-grandmother had a heart attack. My mother had a heart attack, so therefore I'm going to have a heart attack.
Right.
A lot of that is not genetic. It's epigenetics. So an example of epigenetics is that, let's just say that a woman is pregnant with her child. And within that child, while she's pregnant with the child, she's in a relationship where she is exposed to domestic violence or sexual assault or something of that sort. The child never saw her be sexually assaulted or exposed to domestic violence. Or let's say the mother is pregnant with the child, she suffers from anxiety. So the child never witnessed these things, but because the child is in the mother's womb at the time of her experiencing these things are transferred through epigenetics. So although the child never saw the mother be abused through domestic violence, it's birthed into domestic violence. Even if she leaves or he leaves the person that's causing these issues, the child grows into that. So we have these things that lay just below the skin. Yeah, just like we have layers of skin, epidermis, you have epigenetics. So ayahuasca heals the epigenetics. It heals the energetic body. And therefore, in healing the energetic body, it heals the physical body.
So share with them how the plant, how you prepare the plant and why you choose a certain plant and how you prepare it for the ceremony.
So the plant, ayahuasca, unlike shrooms are just grow. They grow and the medicine is there, right? With ayahuasca, it's more of a alchemy. Because you have to cook the medicine, you have to make it, and it's made with two ingredients, different things. But the primarily it's the kaffi vine and the trakuna leaf, and they're boiled together several times. You know, there's a certain way to do it. It could take up to 12 to 24 to 48 hours, depending on who's making it, but it's a long process. The energy of the person who is making it is kind of put into that medicine, you see.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So that's the reason why you have to be a little cautious about who you sit with or whose medicine you consume.
Right.
But so it is a process to create this medicine. The vine can be mixed with different things. Also, mimosa is another plant that can be mixed with the capybara. There's different ways to make it, but ayahuasca is not just grown and then you can just go pick it like you can with shrooms. You know, shrooms come ready-made, you know. Ayahuasca, there's an alchemy process to it.
Now, shrooms is the name of a plant?
Mushrooms.
Mushrooms, okay. Oh, okay, that's a whole different therapy.
I'm just giving a comparison to how ayahuasca does take a process, the mixing of two plants to create it.
Right. And so how did you start training? What was your first ayahuasca? I imagine you've done ayahuasca. Have you done it more than once? And what was your first experience like? And then how did you start training to help others in this process?
Well, I stopped counting a long time ago.
Okay.
But the first time that I was told that I was to work with these plants, I was shocked. And for a few years, I didn't believe it. I kept saying, nah, that's just your ego. You just want to do something, you know. I was a drill sergeant in the military, and every soldier that came through basic training wanted to be a drill sergeant. Well, you wanted to be a drill sergeant until you were a drill sergeant.
Okay,
you know?
Okay.
I kind of looked at it like that, like, yeah, you're just fascinated by this, and you just want to do something, you know, that, you know. So for a few years, I ignored it until I couldn't ignore it anymore. And a great friend of mine, after going through something that's called a Kundalini awakening, and I really couldn't ignore it anymore after that. It was like it was just only every day that I was supposed to work with this particular medicine. A friend of mine gave me some guidance and to go to Peru. And I went to Peru, and I stayed there for, I believe it was 90 days.
Oh, wow. Really?
Up under a medicine man there, and learned how to work with this medicine. I'm really big on not just, I know we don't need a certificate for everything, and we don't need this, we don't need validation for everything. If it's in your heart to do something, you don't need something hanging on your wall that says you're certified to do it. You know?
Right, right.
But for me, I feel better if I have a mentor, someone to teach me the do's and the don'ts and the way to handle
this type of
medicine. I just don't assume that I have the right to work with this, and that I'm entitled to work with this just because I have a thought that I'm supposed to, or because even the plants telling me that I'm supposed to work with them, I still didn't just assume that I had the right to do so without proper training.
Right.
I think it's important, you know, like if you want to be a massage therapist, I don't necessarily think you have to go to school to be a massage therapist. I give great massages, and I've never been to school, you know, but when it comes to working with someone's psyche, when it comes to working with someone's with these medicines, I think you should be properly trained, and I think you should keep your training up on a regular basis. I go back to Peru again in August, and I try to go once a year and keep my training up. I want to go to Brazil. I want to go all through South America and learn how to work with these medicines more and more and more. And I think it's just the proper thing to do because these are life-changing medicines, and it's not something to take lightly. So I think that proper training and guidance is important.
Yeah, we got to take another break. But I agree, your training for ayahuasca should be serious and with legitimate experienced individuals, because they're, if you go on YouTube or just the internet, there's negative stories of and consequences for people who went to South America, did the ayahuasca, and they didn't turn out so well. So
yeah, well, there's times, yeah, I have a few of those myself. So there's risk. Yeah.
There's risk involved, I think, mainly if the person's psyche and emotional and physical body's not ready. I mean, you do have to prepare for this ceremony in a way that you don't want to have, you know, 3 or 4 weeks of McDonald's and Coca-Cola and junk food before you go down and participate. And then you don't want to have, I guess there's a lot of relationship issues that like clearing your mind about not having doubts that this is something you really should do. I would imagine that has to play into it. So many things in preparation, I think you would agree, for this ceremony, which
Some people, what, go for like a week of just dietary preparation, right? A week or two? I mean, what's your experience with the preparation time before you even participate in the actual ceremony and the frog and all that?
Yeah, well, the frog medicine, there's not a huge preparation for it.
Right.
Just fast that morning. But with ayahuasca, there should be a preparation phase where there's no sexual energy going on, where there's not even self-pleasure. What you allow into your eye gate and your ear gate, you know, if you're sitting up watching serial killer movies and listening to music that's degrading or sleeping with different people. A lot of times, especially with the sexual energy, you're going into ceremony and you just slept with someone you don't know. They just released all of that. Whatever. I believe a man carries his trauma in his semen. Okay? And when he releases that in you, you have to know how to transmute that. If you don't know how to transmute that, it sits there and it festers. And so you bring that energy, you're bringing your own trauma into ceremony, and you're bringing his trauma into ceremony with you.
Oh, wow.
You see?
That's deep.
So abstaining from sex is also an important process in preparing. I know you got to go to break, sis. You just said it.
Well, but that's an important kind of segue into this so we can come back and talk about Mercury retrograde, because all of that we are discussing up to this point, the planets are now ready to assist the release, the processing, the whatever for this next, 2 weeks or so. So when we come back, let's get into that Mercury retrograde period that we are now in. What it means, how it can heal, how it can help us when we are conscious of what's going on. So we'll be right back. Thank you, Lisa. Right back.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
You are tuned in to the Soulful Chicago Book Fair 2020 Vision Fundraising Campaign. That's right. You can support the vision of reviving Black literary excellence in this city by simply taking your $20 or more and donating it on our website. Visit www.soulfulchicagobookfair.com and click the Donate tab on our homepage, or give us a call at 646-359-6605. And we welcome you, helping us breathe literary life into the South Side of Chicago.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
our guest, Lisa Campbell. Press one in the studio, and I don't know why my comments aren't showing up on my StreamYard. So I'm on my phone looking at comments from Jody and Zelda. Zelda says, Grand Friday, awesome queen, teachers, very enlightening, pond story. She loved your pond story. Amazing discovery. Please keep sharing. Thank you, Zelda. And Jody says, my husband is working with that now. I'm not sure what working with that means. Is that ayahuasca, Jody, that he's working with? And then Jody says, so insightful. Zelda wants to know what ayahuasca, please explain. And Zelda, if you have any more questions, please post them or call in. And Jody says, I would like to meet with Yona. And then Zelda, please share Peru training information. And then Kimberly Guawardo is joined. Hi, Kimberly. So thank you all for your comments and your questions. And something came to me when you were talking about trauma. You know, I met a lot of women, not a lot. I've met a few women who have painful monthly menses. And I wanted to just ask you if you've verified this or not, that, and I had painful monthly periods. And I discovered something we had in common was when our mothers were carrying us, our mothers had some very extreme emotions going on. Like one woman, one young lady I was counseling, mentoring, her mother went through some major depression while she was carrying her, and abuse even while she was carrying her. And then my mother wanted to abort me. She told me right off, she told me when she was near death that she wanted to abort me. Because my dad had an affair. My dad was a football player. This is my dad back here. He played in the NFL back in the late 40s and 50s. If you remember Jet Magazine, there was an article in there that mentioned my dad, a woman he must have had an affair with, said that when Mr. Howard divorces his wife, I'll be the next Mrs. Howard. And my mom read that in Jet Magazine. I wasn't even conceived at that point. So this is, I would say I had a divine override because my mother went into probably some type of depression from that, reading that in Jet Magazine that some woman was saying my dad was going to divorce her. So anyway, long story short, he retired from football because he had a shoulder injury. So I guess that ended his affair in New York, came back to Chicago, and my mom and him conceived me. So she said when she found out she was pregnant with me, she wanted to abort me because she was not a happy person at that point. But anyway, she went on with the pregnancy, and I had the most painful menstruations. And again, I've talked to women, and I've asked them, well, what was your mother's pregnancy about? When they had painful menstruation, and they were all the similar emotional extremes in their mom or low frequency emotions. Have you ever had that come up in your counseling?
You know, I've never heard that, but that's very interesting. But it would correlate with epigenetics.
Right,
you know?
Right.
The trauma being passed from the mother to the child. You know, another thing. Now, one thing I have experienced is that a lot of women who suffered from postpartum depression also suffered from trauma during the pregnancy.
Okay.
And so there was something that correlated with that. But the painful menstrual cycles, I mean, I myself had painful menstrual cycles. And so, and like I stated earlier, I was born into trauma myself. So yeah, there may be a connection to that.
Okay. So that we're putting that out there, ladies. This is a season to become aware of that, first of all, and then work on, you know, healing yourself, being with yourself out in the moon, this full moon coming up this weekend, and Mercury retrograde is going on. So, Lisa, tell us exactly, or what is Mercury, what does that mean, Mercury retrograde, and how is that affecting us here on planet Earth?
Mercury retrograde is just nothing, but Mercury retrograde actually does affect us here on Earth. You know, the saying, as above, so below. Mercury is the planet of communication. And it's going retrograde in one of its home signs, which is Gemini. And so it'll be in retrograde from the 10th of May to the 3rd of June. And then after that, there's a shadow period. There's about a 10-day shadow window that we still have to be, we don't have to be, but just, you know, be aware of that Mercury is stationing direct. And so what Mercury retrograde is that it doesn't actually go backwards in reverse. It just kind of stands still. It looks like it's standing still. So it's moving forward, and then it just kind of stops moving. It appears to be going backwards. But being that that's the planet of Mercury is the planet of communication, which governs over Virgo and Gemini, and it's going retrograde in Gemini. So some of the things that might happen during this time is that we will, all the R-E words, we'll remember, you know, we may revisit, you know, things may resurface, things like that. So some of the things that happen during Mercury retrograde are delays in travel. You know, so if you're planning on traveling, you want to give yourself some time. You know, go ahead and expect traffic jams. Go ahead and expect flights being canceled, or, you know, don't manifest it. But just kind of be prepared that those things may happen, and don't get upset about it. So delays in travel. Also, there's, because it's the planet of communication, sometimes communication the lines get crossed, you know, with your spouse or with your children. You may say one thing and it may come across as something else. And so there can be misunderstandings between your relationships, or between people, period. You and your boss, or you and your coworkers, or you and your subordinates, whatever the case may be. And so you kind of want to, like, you know, chalk it up to that. Even stuff on social media, people will post something and then you may reply and they take it the wrong way, you know, because there's a mix-up, in communication. Now, when it comes to health, some of the things that may happen during Mercury retrograde is that old trauma might resurface, you know, old memories. People may come back from the past, you know, like a lot of times people, your exes will resurface during Mercury retrograde. And then you will get back with them, spend time with them for that 2 weeks, and by the end of that 2 weeks, you're broke up again.
Oh, well.
Yeah. And so you have to remember, a good thing to do is to remember why you broke up with them in the first place, so that you don't go back and relive that cycle.
Right.
There are some good things.
Go ahead.
There are some good things that come from Mercury retrograde, and the fact that also we have Jupiter in Aries right now, which can give you that oomph to finish things that you haven't finished. So you might go back and revisit that book that you were writing. Or you might go back and renew that friendship with your family member that you had a disagreement with. You may go back and reset. And let me reset so I can start over. So you might reset your diet, or you might reset your exercise routine. But another thing with Aries being in Jupiter being in Aries is Jupiter does everything big. And Aries is the soldier of the zodiac. Aries is the warrior, is the fighter. And so with that being said, tempers might be, you know, short, you see? And so it's just healthy. How it correlates with health is just using it as a tool to remind yourself that not everyone is in tune with the fact that the planets affect us down here. And so you can be a little more lenient on yourself, a little more lenient on people, and more in touch and more centered with yourself, you know, so you're like, okay. Why do I feel irritated? So if you're in a traffic jam, you're not experiencing road rage, or if your flight gets delayed, you're not cussing out the person at the ticket desk. You know, you're like, okay, I kind of knew this would probably happen, or I was kind of prepared for this, you know. And so it just makes life a little easier when you're in tune with what's happening.
Yes. And that's about consciousness. And it's almost like we should be in this mode all the time, that there's a greater influence going on in everyday journey lifestyle that I think our consciousness helps us tune into the bigger universe.
Mm-hmm.
So that whatever's going on, especially in our relationships, it's like, to me, I'm always like, what's the context of this thing I'm going through right now? What's the bigger, the context versus this one verse in the journey, this one day, this one incident? I'm like always thinking, and especially with Kwame in our lives, that man is always, okay, this is what's happening up there. And then this is the crystals are doing, we need crystals for this. We need crystals. So we're really blessed to have him in our lives to help us focus on the bigger picture.
He's been an amazing mentor for me. He's been a part of my spiritual journey from the beginning. Yeah, and so he is, he's an amazing mentor. He's just full of knowledge and so willing to share his knowledge and lead, guide, and direct. And he's not judgmental. Like, you know, I told him some crazy stuff. I can't believe this happened. My anger came to the surface, and I blah, blah, blah. And he'll just laugh and say, yeah.
Yep, that's what happens. Yep, he's not in the studio this right now, but he usually pops in. But let's talk about, with Mercury retrograde, how can that maybe affect people who have addictions? I got so many people in my life who are attached to these comfort tools. I'll put it that way.
This is a 12th house issue. And so some people are just naturally more prone to addiction, you know, to certain addictions. And say that someone's in recovery, you know, and so they might relapse during Mercury retrograde, you know. So knowing these times, when Mercury's in retrograde, they know that they may be more likely to revisit these addictions. You know, so, and knowing that, okay, Mercury retrograde is coming up, so let me find something to occupy myself. Maybe I'll get more creative. Maybe I'll paint. Maybe I'll work out harder. Just being conscious of that. I mean, that was a great question because I had never really considered that. I'm sure in other lifetimes, I must have beat addiction because I haven't had that issue in this lifetime, and I'm grateful. But I'm sure that Mercury retrograde would make someone want to revisit those things, the escapism. It's escapism. So just being in tune that Mercury is in retrograde, and that we have a tendency to fall back into old patterns, there you go. That's a tool. So they can be conscious of that, gives them a little more power in not doing it.
Yeah, but this is the season to be with yourself. I find some people are always wanting to be talking and communicating with others, and they're busy always connecting out here, and they don't know how to meditate. So maybe you could just touch on a little bit about how does a person begin to go be with their self? Because there are people in my life, my oldest son started meditating all on his own, and that was the answered prayer and an unspoken prayer, really. I was just like, help him do change his life, help him do something different. And next thing I know, he's got an app on his phone that helps him meditate. So what are some of the ways you would suggest how people can start to think about being with themselves and not having to always be in communication, connecting with others and talking to others and addictions and all that? How can they start to go within and enjoy that process?
So I think the first thing with meditation is that it's intimidating, because it's like when you see meditation, it's like you have to sit there, you have to be still. They want you to clear your mind. But meditation is not necessarily that. Meditation can be what we're doing right now, where it is just You know, you and I are communicating. It is a conversation that's happening between the two of us. But meditation can be as simple as a cup of tea. You know, holding the cup in your hand, feeling the warmth of the cup, smelling the tea, feeling the warmth go down, feeling the cup touch your mouth. And just for that period of drinking that cup of tea, it is just you and that cup of tea. You know, so meditation can be as simple as that. It doesn't have to be something that's long, drawn out, where you have to be just disciplined and you can't think of anything else. But just being in the moment and doing that in small pieces, you know, not putting a lot on yourself. Or I have to sit here for 30 minutes. No, you don't. You can sit there for 5 minutes and be in the moment with that cup of tea. That in itself is meditation. Being close to nature, getting out in nature. I'm really big on taking off your shoes and being barefoot on the ground. It's called earthing. And feeling the energy from the earth come up through your feet. You know, we spoke about that. I spoke about that earlier this week on a live that I did, where you put your feet on the ground, take your shoes off. There's always something between us and the earth. It's our shoes, our boots, it's our socks, it's the tires of our car. There's something concrete in the building we work in. There's always something between us and the earth. And so to get close to the earth on purpose is powerful meditation, you know, and taking in the vibrational frequency of the earth into our energetic body and just doing that for a moment, you know, grounding. Some other things you can do, stuff that you do anyways. You take a shower every day anyways, or you take a bath every day anyways. Make it a meditative practice. You know, when you're in the shower, I like to get a scoop of salt, and I'll put my soap in the salt and make it like a little body scrub. And as I rinse it off, I'm envisioning my stress, the thoughts of the day, the encounters I had of the day, people that I spoke to, people that I passed by randomly. I'm envisioning them being washed off and going down the drain. And I release it with love, you know, and so it's like a meditative shower. So meditation can be anything. It's just being in the moment. That's what meditation is, you know. So it's hard to do when we're on a social media thing where it's just like one second you're like, oh, I had a baby. The next second, oh, someone passed away. The next second, oh, I'm sick. The next second, oh, I just got the job. Oh, I just started a business. And so we have all these emotions.
Yeah.
Scrolling media constantly, and it's like we're engaging with everyone, you know. And I have a friend who said, you know, you subscribe to which timelines you want to subscribe to. So if you don't want to subscribe to that timeline, don't comment, don't like, don't post, just keep scrolling, you know, because the second you post or you say something about that, what that person is going through, you're subscribing to their timeline. And so having discipline on social media, that seems like a good meditative practice as well.
Absolutely. And speaking of which, I wrote down two headlines that I wanted to bring light to and presence to and truth to, because I know these things affect people with all the propaganda that keeps coming at us and some people listening to it or not. But for instance, there's an infant formula shortage. I want to know what your knowledge is about feeding. Do you practice doula, being a doula as well?
No, I'm not a doula. I have several friends that are doulas.
Okay, so from your associations or your experience with your own children, I think this is the best thing in the world that could happen. There's an infant. You don't have to put this crap in your baby right now. There are plenty of us. And this is how I want to transform or alchemize this scare that they keep throwing out there, that there's, it's a great thing that you're going to have to do other things and put this crap in your baby. And there are so many people on social media coming forth with baby formulas, natural baby formulas. So
It is, because you don't want to put knowledge out there or information that's not valid or vetted or whatever people would think. But if you have experience in this area or knowledge, then it's time for us to share it so people are not afraid that if they're pregnant right now, oh my goodness, how am I going to feed my baby? Let's get rid of this fear. That's the main point I'm bringing up.
Well, that's the key right there. If they're pregnant right now, they have a choice. But as we know, the female breast naturally dries up if it's not being lactated.
Right.
So, with that being said, we're talking about the women that are here and now. This is part of that whole independent woman thing where we went into the workforce and where we get your own money. Well, the baby's caught, you know. This is a backlash from that because we didn't have time to breastfeed. And if you were breastfeeding, if you had to leave out of the office or you had to go, you couldn't go to here, there, or wherever the mission was at. I say mission because I was military. Then, I can't go to the range right now. I have to go breastfeed. Then you got bashed. You know, she's just trying to get out of something. She's just trying to do this. She's just trying to do that. So we're talking about women. Now, if we're talking about women that are currently pregnant, now we can help them with this. But we can't judge or criticize women who have their babies or who are feeding their babies formula, and now their breast is dried up. They're in a bad way right now. And so we need to empathize with them. You know, how can we help them? First of all, I'm not a doula, but I'm almost positive that carnation milk and water is not the answer. But, you know, I have heard of goat's milk. I have heard of, you know, different things. Or maybe there's women out there who over-lactate. They have freezers full of milk, and they can sell their milk to the women who can't produce milk right now. So we're in a bad way right now for women who their milk has already dried up, and there's no formula.
Well, yeah, and now, see, I would have to disagree that we're not so much in a bad way, but we're in a new way of solving problems, because my dad's favorite saying was, expect the unexpected and psychology of adjustments. And we as healers, therapists, and I'm a doula. I trained for a while to be a doula. I didn't get certified, but I know what's going on here in the doula world and how women just need support. Whatever they're going through, especially after the birth, that's probably some of the most important time for us to support these women. And I've encouraged women here in the past to become a doula. You don't have to go through any training. Just become aware how you can support them. For instance, you have so much information on crystals and ayahuasca ceremonies and all the things you've been through. You have so much to offer a woman to bring her out of fear into courage, for instance, and resilience. How did you become so resilient? And how these women can now look to other women who have knowledge on a baby formulas, for instance. There's a lot of information out there. And I'm encouraging women to find a farm in your area. If you don't have a farm in your area, drive a couple of hours. And there are so many farmers who have goats and cows who will sell you their milk. And that's where women are going to have to go.
I just want to be careful in not making women feel bad or guilty right now.
Right, exactly.
There's so many reasons why women don't breastfeed.
Right.
You know, believe it or not, I work with people who have suffered trauma. And believe it or not, some women don't breastfeed because they were taught that their breasts were sexual objects. And so they feel like they're molesting their baby if they breastfeed. We don't know why these women have made choices not to breastfeed. But I agree with you that this is an opportunity to change the way that things have been going.
Right.
That women should keep their milk flowing. You know, we should start back breastfeeding our babies and not depending on the system with these toxic formulas that make the babies gain. Babies are overweight. And
allergies.
Yeah.
All these things. So it really is a time for us to reach out to women who are already feeding their babies and they might be worried if the formula is going to run out. Don't worry. Stop worrying. We are here to support you and directing you to the resources you need to continue to nourish that child and to feed that child.
I think the best option is to reach out to other mothers, you know, network with mothers who are breastfeeding that maybe are overproducing milk, you know. And then the next best option would probably be, from what I hear, this is not my lane, but goat's milk.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I worked in a health food store for 10 years, and I had mothers come in there whose baby had so much eczema right after when they started them on these formulas. That's why I'm very passionate about this subject. And these mothers came in the health food store looking for answers to the eczema. And we just happened to have a farmer who provided goat milk for the store. And I said, listen, you just put this baby on the goat milk. Even if you have to go to the goat milk powder, they have goat milk that's in a powder form. Because the molecules in goat's milk are much smaller and better for a human baby than cow's milk. That's why more babies, especially African Americans, have allergies to cow's milk, because the molecules are meant to raise big, healthy calves, not human babies. So I saw these babies' skin clear up within like 2 weeks on goat milk. So it's a reality. So that I want to really put that out there for those of you who might have friends or relatives who are pregnant or who have babies now, and they're starting to say, oh, well, I got to stock up on the infant form. No, you don't have to do that. You need to transform your thinking now and start thinking goat milk. And even finding farms or somewhere near you, farmers markets. If you live in a community where there are farmers markets, those people probably have access or knowledge about where you can get the goat milk, or even raw, or even cow's milk. If you can't find the goat, cow's milk may work, especially if it's raw. They can't sell, most places cannot sell raw milk for human consumption. So what do? They label it as pet milk. So you can buy that pet milk. And if you need to heat it up a little to feel more comfortable and at peace about using raw milk, which we did that all the time back in the 100 years ago, that's all we were doing was using raw milk. But now we have an opportunity to feed our babies something healthier with this new scare that they're putting on us. And there's a lot of rumors that they're creating all this drama and shortages, and even with food, you know, we've heard about food shortages. I know, I think you have a garden going, don't you, in your yard?
Yes, I do have a garden going. I've been trying my hand at gardening for probably the last 3 years.
Oh, good.
But yeah, the food shortage and the formula scares and all that, you know, it's part of this. It's part of the awakening.
Yes.
Because we're being forced to grow our own food, and we're being forced to feed our babies from our bodies. It's all going to be a beautiful thing when it all gels. And so it's a scary process right now, especially for the women, like we said, who currently have babies, and they are panicking about how am I going to feed my child. So. But the women who are pregnant right now are thinking, oh, gosh, I need to keep my milk flowing. So we also need, what is it, lactation consultants or lactation nurses or lactation midwives, whatever we want to refer to them as, but people that teach women how to breastfeed, how to get the baby to latch on, you know, and how to keep the milk flowing. We need to have people come up and do that. We've already created basically our own medical system.
So, that's what I was going to mention, how I think you posted something about this is what the new healthcare system looks like. And we talk about that on the Female Solution, how coming out of this sick care system that has bombarded us with lies and deception the last 2 years, the new healthcare system is, like you said, it's a transformation from the old way of thinking, we need formula, we need this, canned food, and we've got a caller. I'm going to open up their mic. But, yeah, it's time for us to rethink how we do things, and epigenetics plays a role in that as well, because
yes.
we've been thinking a certain way all these years, programmed and with a slave mentality that we can only do things according to the way the government or the medical system operates, and we've got to change that. We're going to go open the mic. 312-671, your mic is open. Give us your name, where you're calling from. You have a question or comment for our guest.
Well, and y'all shalom. Assalamu alaikum. I'm Grand Rising. Good morning, Dr. B. How you doing?
I'm good. This is the Minister Plump, right, of Chicago?
Yes, ma'am. Minister Plump in Chicago. A happy belated Mother's Day to all of the black mothers and women of the earth and the universe. I just wanted to share a thought with you the best of the best that I have observed for as success breeds success is the mothers that breastfeed their children are the healthiest children in the world. They actually live much longer, and they have less illness or sickness. And most of all, I like to share the thought that this is the black woman's time now. And I would like for them to share with themselves, and even to think that a mother that's breastfeeding, and when another mother may not can breastfeed, the thought that I was breastfed, and my mother told me that whenever she didn't maybe have time to or feel breastfeeding me, she gave me, cause her sisters was feeding her children too, right around the same time. But she let me, breastfeed from my, auntie and other, ladies in the community that was breastfeeding, that was able to breastfeed. So I like to share that thought with, the women of today, and, to remind them that, they are the greatest from the past, the present, and the future. And the breastfed children lives much longer and much healthier, and with less conflict of life diseases. And that's my observation from breastfeeding mothers. So I thought I'd share that with from
and that
experience.
Is so, that is so important, coming from a male voice. And I'm sure a lot of women, or some women, don't get that support from maybe the father or the grandfather or whatever in their life. So that, thank you, Minister Plump. And he's in his set. You're in your 70s, right?
So, yes, ma'am. I am 76, and I had to go down south. I just got back from Mississippi, and looking, at the farms and the people in the south, it really energized me even more since I got back to the city, because even the air you breathe is much better. You feel even better about yourself, and I like to encourage people to go back, especially home somewhere in the south that they belong, if they haven't been there in the last 2 or 3 years. It's time, and it's even our time now as a people to go back to our roots. Thank
Absolutely.
You so much.
And that's what this Twilight Zone we've been in is all about, prioritizing our life and our actions. And I have another caller, but did you have any response, Lisa, to what he just said?
Well, yeah, I can appreciate the fact that the way that we, you know, breastfed our children and like I said, what we're going through right now is a result of the whole independent woman leaving the home, going out to the career, and having to make a living for herself. And so there's everything he said is truthful. Yeah, we all know that breastfeeding is the best way to go. But I just I really just want to caution these women right now, not making them feel bad for the decision of not breastfeeding. You know, it's just they have enough. You know. And so we just want to find a solution to how we can maybe give them some ideas of how they can make it work from here forth.
And see, that statement, Lisa, is the statement from a doula mind, because the doula's job is to support the woman, whatever her decision is. And as I went through this training, they kept emphasizing, like you just said, even if a woman decides not to breastfeed, we want to support her and we want to help her, whatever her decision is. So now women are going to be kind of forced to make different decisions if there's nothing on the shelf for your baby. So we are, again, as doula, and you have a doula mind right there, as doulas, we're going to help you whatever the situation is. If there's no cows in the neighborhood, if there's no goats in the neighborhood, we got some solutions for you. Because if nothing else, we can go out in the garden and look at plants and see what kind of plants are going to help you. But it may not, hopefully it's not going to be that bad where the tools are so limited that you only have a little bit of choice here. But let me go to this next caller. I think this might be Maika, 779-801. Your mic is.
Yes, grand rising to you and your guests. Thank you so much for this topic. I just want to remind women that if you've had a baby, it's still possible to generate milk from your breast, even if they've dried up. So you might can get your men in your life to help you with that by sucking it until the milk appears again. Once the milk appears, you can give it to the baby or let the baby suck if you ain't got a man in your life to help you get it generated. It's just like priming a pump, you know. You just have to get the process going again. It's there, it's active, and you got to activate it, I mean. But it will happen. I breastfed 5 children, 2 years and more. So it's really a fundamental process. Now, in terms of formulas, if I was in the situation and I couldn't get my milk generated again, which you can, there's an amazing product out there called Catawba. I would use cachava probably and some oat milk or some almond milk to feed the baby with. And then I think chia seeds would be very good for infants also in terms of their health and well-being. But the process can be regenerated regardless of how long it's been dried up. Just a matter of priming the pump. So I wanted to share that with
you. You said cachava. How are you spelling that, cachava?
K-A-C-H-A-V-A. It's an amazing product out there. I'm surprised you haven't heard of it. They advertise quite extensively.
That looks familiar. But Lisa, have you heard of cachava?
I've heard of it, but I'm not real familiar with it.
Okay, so this is why we need a village. This is why we need conscious women and men coming together in this season of change to give advice and offer. Here's a mother who breastfed 5 children for 2 years and more. So, hell, let's listen to Maika's experience with her 5 children and breastfeed here. And how many women are out there like that? Tons of women out
this
there
was
like
in the
that.
70s when I was breastfeeding my children, you know,
in
on
the
buses, everywhere, you know, women weren't doing that. Black women weren't doing that at the time.
I know.
I was doing it. I was a trailblazer at that time in breastfeeding. I knew it was the healthiest thing for my child. Just like I wasn't giving vaccines to my children in the 70s. That was heard of also. But I was looking out for the health of my children. And I want to say that, you know, women have been enslaved for over 5,000 years from a religious perspective, and black women for over 400 years. And we very seldom speak about the enslavement of women, but it's so exceeded the enslavement of black people. And yet we don't deal with the necessity to eradicate those enslaved tendencies from ourselves. We have to uproot and eradicate our slave tendencies as females so that we can enter into the 21st century as whole beings who are capable of making conscious, positive, life-enhancing decisions for ourselves and our children and our husbands. We have great leadership ability, and we have to bring it to the forefront so that the world can really change quickly in the interest of humanity. So I'm advocating that women get over their feelings, their hurt feelings, so that everything doesn't trigger a hurt feeling, and begin to think positive, learn how to think, learn how to process without always throwing in your hurt feelings, seeing everything through hurt feelings. I hear the sister saying, I don't want the women to feel bad. Women feel bad on their own, regardless of what you say to them or how you say it to them. That's been my experience. This whole Kevin Samuels thing is evident of that. The man had truth to say, but women had hurt feelings to interpret the truth through. As a result, they couldn't digest the truth. They ended up hating the man because of the delivery he gave to the truths that he gave to them. So we have to learn to go beyond hurt feelings and just filter things through love. You be the love vessel through which you hear and experience life, and then things will turn out better for you. Because if love is the ingredient, then love is going to find a way to be constructive, always. So I want to thank you for this show, and thank you for your guest. And I pray that women work to eradicate slave tendencies, toxic emotions, and hurt feelings from themselves. Totally.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Maika. I think that should be our prayer during this retrograde, what she just said, is that we pray that women and men will come out of their hurt feelings, and that we will all start recognizing our triggers as something that has maybe roots in our childhood, and that we start healing our inner child. And we've got a couple of more callers, but I'll let you comment on what she just said.
Yeah, I agree with her. You know, it's not about people's feelings being hurt, but it's more, from my perspective, about honoring women's choices up to this point, and that there's nothing they can do about it, so making them feel bad about it is not going to fix it. It's not necessarily coddling their feelings as much as respecting them. I get it. We don't need to function from a place of emotion. We need to function from a space of having answers and how are we going to fix it. But at the same time, having respect for one another. Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
So let me go to the next caller. I believe this is Mama AZ in Arizona. How are you, sister? Welcome.
Grand Rising, Dr. V. Thank you, Sister Lisa. Thank us, and I'm so grateful that you are on this time journey, Lisa. I miss you. I really need to have something with you. How are you? How are you? I'm in a nursing facility, so I couldn't tune in until just now, actually. How are you? Oh, and thank you, Dr. Maika, for what you said. Yeah, we got to get over it. We got to heal ourselves. I am so grateful for everything that you said, and I'm going to dedicate this show to my great-grandson and my grandson and my great-granddaughters. But how are you, Lisa?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Mama AZ?
I am so grateful, girl, to be on this side of the dirt on this planet. I've been in the nursing home for about a year, a little better than a year now. A lot of things have happened, but we'll talk about it. I'm just grateful that you connected with Dr. V, and it's a wonderful, wonderful time, family, to be on the planet. Thank us, and I'll go back to the archives and listen to the entire show. But that's all that I had to say. It's awesome. My babies are coming together, and we need to heal the family because there's a lot of hurt within the women on this planet. There's a lot of hurt, and we have got to heal, and we have got to love, and we have got to forgive, you know, our mothers, because they did the best that they could do with the knowledges that they had. And that's my word. Thank you. Thank us, Dr. V. Peace.
Thank us, and lots of love and prayers in your healing journey. That leg is healed, and I know you're talking to that leg, so let's keep talking to that leg. And we're going to let Kwame Sunhorse have the last word since he just raised his hand at the last minute. Kwame Sunhorse, your mic is open. We were talking about you earlier. I don't know if you heard, but we were talking about you with much love earlier. Now you're here. Go ahead. You got the last word.
And that's what awakened me, I believe, in divine order. And greetings to you, my sister Viata, and to Sister Lisa, Mom AZ, and to the family of Female Solutions. And this is the solution, is the female. Because in the prophecy it says that when the woman stands up and sings, we will begin to change our lives and save our lives, is because we all come through the woman. And in this Turtle Island, there was a law, paritus, what is the word? It's paritus sequitur venturum. They made this in 1661 in Virginia. And that law said that any child that comes from a womb was a captive of this country. And we have been seeing this process happen since then. But we understood that we came from a people that honored women. And once upon a time, we gauged our nation by three things: the land that we were on, the water that we had there in that land, and the women that we had within that land, because those three things gave power to us being connected to Inamaka, Mother Earth. And with that, we grew into greatness in the civilizations that we created once upon a time, and our women ruled. And in our understanding of the circle of life, we've come back to this point in the Milky Way. Milky Way is named for the female energy that comes from Isis, Sirius, because that is the breast milk that feeds this galaxy, that feeds these nine planets, that feeds all the beings that's created on this Mother Earth. We are out of order because the patriarchal order has decided to say that it is greater than its woman. And every man has a belly button, and he comes from a woman. So how can you be greater than what created you and gave you life? That is the challenge that we're having on this Turtle Island and throughout the world in different civilizations. It's very important that we hear our women, because when they speak, it is telling us how we are not living right. If we are having them to be upset about the way in which they're treated, then we have to look at ourselves as men. Because as men, we are only as great as our women. And so we have to begin to stop looking at this mindset of our oppressor and look at the axiology and the value, how we do it. There's an excellent elder named Edwin Nichols, And he coined the phrase of axiology and being able to see how do we value ourselves as a people. And these are the tools that we have to begin to look at. The Native American says the law, natural law, is four things. Number one is you have to go within. Number two, you have to have a vision. And then you have to take that vision and you have to put it into an action. And then number four is to create a force. A force is a community. We always say it takes a village to raise a child. But what does it take to make a village? Number one, it takes a woman because she produces the life that is to be in that village. And so we have to begin to look at this circle of retrograde. Go back and fetch Sankofa, that which is most foundational for building on for us today and the seven generations that's on its way. These are the things that we need to speak to.
Yes, thank you so much, Kwame. That's a perfect ending to this Heart Health and Ayahuasca ceremony celebration. And the final word is there is no infant formula shortage. There is a mind renewal need to think, where should our infants be nourished from? What should be the primary source? And so then we need to explore that, and the women have to do it first. But Lisa, we're in overtime, actually, but I want you to give people some information how they can contact you. We had a caller wanted to know about Peru, and I don't know if you have that kind of information. Yeah, please share Peru training information. That we don't have time for that so much, but and Kimberly says she wished she had better women mentors like you when she was having children. Formula was the worst decision and very stressful. So a lot of women know that formula is not the best choice, but now we are in a place to say there's no infant shortage. There's just been a need to renew our thinking and our minds and our hearts. And that's what Lisa does. So tell us how people can get a hold of you and phone numbers and that kind of thing.
Okay, so you can get a hold of me via Facebook for sure, and just message me, and I will be sure to reply. My email address is clmeditation@gmail.com. So all the topics that we spoke about today ultimately go back around full circle to healing. It's all part of the shift. It's all part of this new world order that we're moving into. And so... everything's in divine order. Everything's in divine order. And so, and through our self-healing, you know, whether it be through ayahuasca or through other plant medicines or whether it be through meditation, but through our healing, we will all evolve at the right time and everything will fall into place.
Yeah.
Facebook or via email at clmeditation. Email, and I'll be sure to reply. I do travel and do and hold ceremonies for certain groups.
Oh, great!
That, please reach out. Yeah.
So you will leave Texas for a time if you have to.
I've traveled all over the United States and sitting in ceremony with people, it's what we do.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us here, and I look forward to meeting you one day and giving you a big hug, because we have so much in common, and we're here to just do the work of healing. And yeah, third dimensional reality is triggers, and people getting up. So now you know you can refer them to my website, yourholisticlifecoach.com. If people are struggling with doula roles and support, that's my field. And then Maika has really, I can send everything over to her if she wants to help out. So we have a great network, what Kwame calls the Overground Railroad. And we're developing that every time we do a blog talk show, in my opinion. My goal is to develop the Overground Railroad and a new healthcare system to pull us out of the sick care system and into consciousness, meditation, and all the things we talked about today. So we're going to go to our ending. I think my ending played, but I'm going to play it again. So thank you so much, Lisa. Have a beautiful day. I'm going camping this weekend. I'm so excited. Get away from Wi-Fi and all the noise and just go feed the cows and do my thing. So we'll talk again soon. I'll be looking forward to sharing things on Facebook with you.
Yeah, it was nice meeting you.
You too. Shalom. Love you. Have a great day. All right, we're going to play our ending again because I have to share my thank you endings, and I had it on low. We're going to just do that one more time. Say goodbye. All of you,
we've come to the end of our show today,
oh,
but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go
like
to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can all reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows.
Don't get
listen
angry
to our radio
at the
shows.
Don't shoot
order
the messenger.
Book, and be sure to get your copy of
the
book, The Female Solution.
Come up that are not
on behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion.
Thank you all. Have a great week. I'm gonna
and to our global family listening
global
from all around the world, we say thank you.
Thank you.
To our family in China, Sheshe.
Sheshe.
India, Zanyaba. Japan, arigato.
Arigato.
Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba.
Spasiba.
Germany, danke.
Danke.
Poland, jeong geunyeong. France, merci.
Merci
Spain,
beaucoup.
Gracias.
Muchas
Italy,
gracias.
Gracias. Egypt, shukran.
Shukran.
Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Jeret, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Namaste.
Thank you.
Shalom.
And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God. And God's
blessing. Everybody have a great weekend. Out in nature.